Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
John, Josh, and Nick out here with thanks to Dan back in our studios at 50th and Capitol doing a wonderful job for us today. We'll get the reaction from Nick in a minute, but we'll finish up the audio first.
Got a lot of audio.
From Jimbo Fisher. If you missed it, check out our second segment today. We've got his opening statement and a couple of clips in the radio replay. But leaving off from where we took up from a few segments ago, Jimbo was asked about the nature of what it is that they're doing. And he says, we don't have anything to hide. Cut four, Dan.
How important was it for you to have this press conference so that you could defend your players and your program?
I'm not defending anybody. I'm just giving you the truth. Because I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide, and our program has nothing to hide. Be interesting if everybody could say that.
Last little clip, well done.
The whole thing was just peppered with the idea that Nick Saban has been cheating.
Which, look, man, in the pre-name, image, likeness days, there was a meme that was always on the internet with them posting screenshots of Alabama players' Instagram pages when they all had, like, the exact same car, which looked like it came from the exact same dealership. Oh, how are they all driving Dodge Challengers or Chargers or what it is? Of course, it's Alabama, of course.
But you know, the funny thing is, we've had so many different investigations. We've had so many different kinds of allegations. While it is popular right now for all of us to say, well, of course Alabama's cheating because A, everybody's cheating, and B, they're the best in the country, so they must be doing the best cheating. There's never been a story. There's never been a serious expose
into all
of this. And I think part of what Jimbo was doing today was throwing down a challenge to the media. Hey, look at this guy.
Exactly.
Check out this guy. Yeah. Everyone's coming after us just because we signed the number one class.
Yeah.
They've been signing the number one class. 9 out of the last, 13, 14 years, they've signed the number one class. Go look at him. Go investigate him. I think that is at heart.
Yes.
At part of what he is doing.
So over the years, I know that I've had conversations with listeners before, and they've asked, like, you know, hey, if cheating is as prevalent, this is pre-NIL, obviously.
Yeah.
If cheating is as prevalent as you always say it is, why does nobody ever get in trouble? My answer is always, well, because everybody's doing it. Why would I, if I know you're cheating, but I'm also not on the up and up, why am I going to be like, hey, Sean Bishop's doing X, Y, and Z? Because it would come back on me. And I think, yes, that's where a lot of the frustration came from today. Again, as I said earlier, you said earlier, today was personal. Today was personal for Jimbo. He got named yesterday by Saban. It's like, okay, if we're going to play this game now where you're going to name me, then fine, I'm going to return it in due kind. If Saban does all that stuff yesterday and does not bring up Texas A&M, does not bring up Jimbo Fisher, even if he alludes to him but doesn't fully go there, there's not a press conference this morning from Jimbo Fisher. There's not. And so I think that's why, like, there's been all these tweets about, like, hey, he broke the code. Nick Saban broke the code. I think that there's a truth to some degree about that, where it's like, hey, man, we're all doing this. Why are you going to put us on Front Street? I guess that I'll have to do the same thing for you.
But wasn't it interesting that you had another coach in the SEC, Lane Kiffin, essentially do the same thing? And Jimbo had that initial press conference. He didn't go after Lane Kiffin nearly as hard as he went after Nick Saban.
Yeah.
That goes back to the personal side of things, because there has been a personal relationship between these two in the past. And I think that's another area where Jimbo said, okay, but the gloves are off.
Yeah. Yeah.
The gloves are absolutely off. Cut five is next. This one was pretty good because it eventually got to the idea of a physical attack on Nick Saban. Cut five.
They have collectives. I know there's a collective here. I don't know who's got what, when's got what. Had no idea last year. That is not what we do or what we're about.
I was going to say, that's by design. You saying, hey, I'm staying out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I have no sponsorships in those things. And that's the truth. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
Amazing. See, and the funny thing about this, too, is these coaches are from a specific generation where, like, they have those types of stories. And so that always makes it funny. It's like, oh, man, when I was growing up, my dad would take a belt out, you know, like.
Yeah, he went there a couple of times today.
I always love that stuff.
He went there a couple of times today. Jimbo was then asked, because you have SEC coaches meetings coming up, you have SEC media days coming up, and, of course, there's the game in October.
October 8th, folks.
Between these two teams. But Jimbo said, bring it on, man. I don't care. Cut six, Dan.
Yeah, Jimbo, SEC spring meetings are coming up, the media days in a couple of months, and then October 8th. What do you think? That's is it going to be awkward?
And awkward about what?
When you have to face it or have to?
I don't mind confrontation. Live with it my whole life. Kind of like it myself.
Man, that is another one of those quotes from somebody where it's like, oh, okay. You're good with somebody coming up in your face and maybe saying something a little bit. I don't mind confrontation. I always forget about how good his accent is.
I'm glad at least somebody, because he was in a very friendly room today. He was in a very friendly room.
Defenders of the program.
There was a lot of defenders of the program in that room. But I'm glad at least somebody tried to ask about, you know, well, this obviously is all stemming from NIL and how NIL has come about. Well, how do we fix this? Cut seven.
When you talk about uniform legislation, would you like to see that the schools be able to have a little bit more ability to?
I don't know that. I don't know what's right. It just needs to be uniformed across the board. And it's hard because the government's going to have to get involved with it.
Uh-oh.
Not into that. I just know that what we did was nothing wrong, was not done the wrong way. Nothing was promised. Nothing was deal. And we didn't buy any players.
Here's the thing. If you want to be a leader in your sport, you better start coming up with some answers.
See, I know. Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Start coming up with some answers. We can't continue to allow these coaches to deflect and say, well, I don't have the answers, but someone's got to come up with the answers.
Then you're just complaining.
You're a leader in this sport. Yeah. You know how the inner workings of this go. You know just how much involvement boosters have had and do have. You know this.
Yep.
You know everything that's happening in your program, which means you have a pretty good idea of what's happening around college football. You can no longer hide behind the notion of, well, I don't have the answers, but we got to let the government do it.
Yeah.
You don't want the government getting involved. The government getting involved is how we got to this spot in the first place. Because the NCAA decided, hey, we're going to continue our status quo. We're going to drag our feet and drag our feet and drag our feet and drag our feet on players' rights and paying players and NIL and all this stuff. We're just going to continue to drag and drag and drag. And so what eventually happened, there was enough public sentiment out there that this was an unfair system that the California legislature got involved, and then it just started a ripple effect, and it opened the floodgates, and states started passing laws. This is what happens when the government gets involved, Jimbo. It's up to you guys to fix this issue, because if the government gets involved, guess what? They're not going to do exactly what it is you want them to do, because politicians don't work that way.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. When coaches and look, I've started to say media members, too. Like, if you're going to complain about all this stuff, okay, great. Give me an idea. And sometimes I'm going to agree, and sometimes I'm going to disagree with the ideas, but at least then we're trying to figure out what to do next. If you hate this so much, give me an idea.
And finally, final Jimbo shot across the bow. Cut eight.
So is this the most upset, disappointed, angry you've been about something in your coaching career?
It's despicable for what it does for the sport. And the operations, the way things were done the other way, when the parity was there, like we said, never has been parity. Certain people never follow the rules anyway.
All right, along those lines, that's perfect because it goes into one of the quotes that I have up from Nick Saban. He was on SiriusXM earlier today, within the last hour, actually. And here was one of the things he said. I wasn't saying anyone did anything illegal. That was something that was assumed. That wasn't what I meant or what I said. It's not illegal. It's the system that allows you to do it that I have a problem with. So really quickly, walking it back, saying, no. I wasn't saying anyone was doing anything illegal. I don't like the system in which it allows it to happen. I think he expanded on that a little bit later because he says, if alumni give money or money is raised through a collective to give to a player, that's no different than alumni giving the player money. The collective becomes a representative of the school, and you can't do that. Which, again, he's not wrong
No.
in the sense of what this stuff was designed to do. But if there is, look, you got to have a couple things. If there's no proof, okay, then what are you doing? But here's the other thing too, John, and I'll say this until the cows come home. If you say to a player, I'm going to give you X amount of money, come and do some autograph signings. You can get mad and say, but Josh, his autograph isn't worth $1 million. You can't say, but if they're willing to pay him that to do autographs or come to a meet and greet, I know, I get it. Like, is that worth $1 million? No, of course it's not. You're paying him $1 million to play football. But it's a heck of a way to get around it. It really is.
Saban did start his interview on SiriusXM College Radio by saying, I should have never singled anyone out. That was a mistake. I apologize for that.
Obviously. Yeah, that, I mean, again, that's why I said what I did a couple minutes ago. If he doesn't call out Jimbo yesterday, there's no press conference today. It's just another coach that's complaining about the of college football. But when he mentioned Texas A&M, when he mentioned the number one recruiting class, he made it personal.
We also mentioned that Greg Sankey has spoken out. According to Bruce Feldman, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey issued a public reprimand for Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher about their comments and allegations about each other's programs. And this was something I tweeted out earlier today. While there's a lot of folks right now, you know, we're all kind of reacting like we do to 1990 sitcoms. Remember 1990 sitcoms where people would get in a fight and then someone would burn somebody and the whole audience would go, ooh. That's what we're all doing right now.
Yeah.
We were all going, ooh. But if you're Greg Sankey, this is not what you want. Believe it or not, those of you who believe this is all being done just to keep college football's name out there, this is not what this is about.
No.
I trust me, Nick Saban did not, he didn't want this to blow up against him the way it did. Now,
that's why he came on the radio and apologized today.
Exactly. But Greg Sankey definitely does not want this. Because there was something I saw today from Stuart Mandel of The Athletic that said, those of you who have been rooting for the SEC to fall by the wayside or to not be the kingpin of college football anymore, this is a good day for you, essentially. I'm kind of paraphrasing what the tweet said, because you got two high-profile coaches in the league going at it, tooth, fang, and claw. And Greg Sankey knows this. He's a very savvy guy.
Yeah.
This is the last thing that he wants right now. It would not surprise me. In fact, if I were Greg Sankey right now, I would be on the phone with Greg Byrne, and I would be on the phone with, is it Russ Bjork? Who is the athletic director at Texas A&M?
Yeah, Ross Bjork.
I would be on the phone with both of them saying, I want to see you, I want to see you, and I want to see your two head coaches in my office next week. And we need to iron this out. We need to smooth this over right here and now. Because while the SEC has some of the greatest rivalries in college football, this is not the rivalry that they want. Because they don't want anything that could jeopardize the power structure of college football. No, of course the SEC is not going anywhere. ESPN's money and CBS's money isn't going anywhere. They're going to have all of that. But if these coaches start turning on each other like this, it's only going to get worse, and it's going to open the floodgates, because you've got some pretty free thinkers and free speakers in this conference. You have
Lane Kiffin.
You have Mike Leach. You've got Brian Kelly isn't afraid to say. Brian Kelly's new to this fraternity. He's not afraid to say what's on his mind. And if these two guys are going to go at it, there's going to be some other guys to go at it as well. So if I were Greg Sankey right now, I would be on the phone saying, next Monday in my office, basically calling these guys out on the carpet and saying, We can't have this. We can't have this not only for our league, but for our sport, because there's already enough chaos going on right now. The last thing we need is for programs to be turning on each other, because they all know where the bread is buttered. They all know the dirty little secret that has always existed in college football. They don't want the scripted material to get out there in the public and everyone going, oh, wait, you mean this is what it is? And granted, we all know that this is the way the sausage is made.
Yeah.
But they don't want people openly talking about it like this and calling each other out and basically calling each other cheaters in public.
Yeah, and look, one of the things that I'm kind of excited for with college football is really to get kind of past this era. Like, as we've said a lot, we're living in this era of change. So much is happening, and a lot of it goes against the ethos of the sport, you know, that we had grown to know. But I love this tweet earlier today from Ralph Rousseau of the Associated Press. We've had him on Sports by Counting many times. He said, this whole spat is based on the premise that college players picking a school based on money is bad, impure, not respectable, not the right way. For a school to take advantage of that to land players is a shortcut, because that's the way it's always been. The premise is... And I couldn't agree with Ralph more. You know, Jimbo continues to come to defense for something that he doesn't need to defend. It should be something that he is proud of. They have a fan base that cares. They have a fan base that is literally willing to put their money where their mouth is. And I understand that there is this gray area with collectives. There's this gray area with raising that money and giving it to them without really any sort of promise beyond maybe a couple handshakes and some autographs. But, like, there's nothing bad about that. You know, going to a school because you like the school and because they're giving you something on the side. Jeez, man, that sounds like something America was founded on, those types of ideals. So I guess I just don't – I just am ready to get past this. I'm ready to get past this constant, you know, complaining that a school is doing something that a year ago was cheating, but now it's not.
But there's a problem. The schools aren't giving, outside of the education, what they've typically given. The schools aren't giving anything. It's people affiliated with these schools, loosely or directly. And that's where the real issue is.
But is it an issue?
It is an issue. Because it doesn't exist like this anywhere else. Literally anywhere else. I think one of the problems is, I think what we all have to come to grips with is, this sport has been so intertwined with a seedy underbelly.
Yes.
Unlike that exists in any other sport, that I don't think you're ever going to get rid of it. There's this idea that maybe, well, if we just bring in a new generation that, you know, accepts players' rights and accepts this and accepts that, that we can create a better sport. There's one problem with that. There is an element that has existed in this sport for over a century that is so deeply entrenched within the fabric of this sport that there's no getting rid of it. The unscrupulous boosters and the overzealous alums are the water that moistens the soil, that feeds the roots, that has grown the mighty oak tree that is college athletics. And college sports a long time ago decided this is what we were going to do to feed this. And there's no getting rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
None. And so even I have come to the realization that there is no creating a wholesome college football. Not that there's, NFL's got its issues and the NBA's got its issues. I mean, nothing is truly wholesome.
Yeah.
But there is nothing that is going to launder this sport of college football to the point where we can all kind of say, that's cool, that's good. We're never going to get to that point. As much as the ne'er-do-wellers and the ideologues out there think that it's possible, it's never going to happen, because the boosters and the alums who have been so passionate about their teams winning games and beating the rival and bringing home trophies and feeding their egos, that's never going to go away. Even if, Josh, even if college sports decides we're going to do real pay for play. We're going to do real revenue sharing. Call it revenue sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not going to make the boosters go away.
No, because they still want to be good.
Because they still feel like they have a chance to influence something. Mm-hmm. And they do. And it's called money. And money talks. You're never, ever, ever getting rid of that.
So
because it is so entrenched in the fabric of this sport. It is at the core of this sport. It's not going anywhere.
So you started this by saying it sounded like it was a bad thing. A few minutes later now, it's almost like you've come to the realization that you got to wrap your arms around it. Is that what you're saying?
You do, but...
Because I couldn't agree more.
You do.
This is what it is.
But is that a good thing?
Well, now that's a fine question to ask.
Answer to that, if you believe in true... As pure, as wholesome a competition as there can exist, then you also cannot believe that that is good.
Well, you're right, but that's, as you said a couple seconds ago too, that's college football. You know, so you are mm-hmm. you are daring to dream of a college football that has never existed and most likely
right.
never will.
But
exist.
Basically what I'm saying right now is if there's anybody out there that says we can make this better and we can make this more, you know, more pure and we can fix all
it's
of this,
a fallacy.
There's no fixing it.
Well, I would
zero. You can adjust it. The only thing you can do is adjust it to a point where you can make it palatable.
Yeah.
But you're never going to make it good for you. And that's probably the hardest realization that a lot of people have to come to, young and old, that there is no making this sport pure. There is no making this sport being of high moral character and playing by the rules, there's none of that. It's always been that way. It's just now we know more about how it happens and why it happens. And again, that is a hard realization for people who followed this sport for many, 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 many years to come to grips with, even if they knew. Heck, I knew from a pretty, I don't know how young, but... You know, when I was in high school, I suppose, I knew that, hey, you know, yeah, Nebraska's probably doing some things under the table. I saw players driving nice cars back in the day, and how does a poor college kid afford that? I was never under the idea that this was pure, but there was at least this image that there was somebody out there trying to keep the dirtiest of the so-called cheaters out of the sport. Now we don't even have that.
Yeah, you know, one of the movies that you adore, it's named Inception, and
terrible movie.
There's a line in that movie from the Leonardo DiCaprio character where he's talking to his wife and he says, I love your perfections and I love your imperfections. And as you were speaking just now, I was thinking about that, because like, look, I love college football and I love the good, and in a way you almost have to love the bad that comes with it. And look, I think you hit on it. You just gotta at least say this is what it is, and if you can get to that point, then maybe you'll be like me, because I'll be honest, a lot of this stuff doesn't really bother me that much. But I think it's because I've always kind of imagined college football to have all this seediness, and now this is just kind of confirming some of that. By the way, speaking of seediness, Jordan Addison's going to USC.
Oh, really? I'm shocked.
Just made official. Just
really?
Made official. Jordan Addison, formerly of Pitt.
Wonder how that happened.
Yep, very interesting. But yep, he's going to USC.
Well, good luck, young man.
Good luck, young man. That's the way to live, John. That's the way to live.
Yep, I suppose it is. 402-951-1620. That's also our text line now. Yes, you can also text at 402-951-1620.
Yeah, 10-2 Noah texts in 100 days until Nebraska goes 10-2. I mean, they'll have to.
That's impossible. Yeah, there's no way they can go 10-2
in 100 days
against Northwestern.
Yeah, you can only get one win that day.
You can only get one.
Or one loss. You can't get 10 wins. Or two losses.
That's true.
Yeah. Come on, Noah.
Yeah. Well, I understand. He's trying.
Yeah.
And you can also hit us up into the JTech Instruction Zone Twitter feed at USC1620 and the email address, john@1620thezone.com or josh@1620thezone.com. That is the Equitable Bank inbox at Equitable. We take banking personally. We are here at Tiburon Golf Course with First Tee Omaha. You got youngsters who've just gotten out of school. They're out here getting one-on-one golf instruction. This is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Getting one-on-one golf instruction, how they can hit the ball better, have more fun. They've got some fun games set up, too, for the kids where you can, you know, do some pitching into hula hoops. They've got putting contests. There'll be prizes, all kinds of fun stuff. You can bring the kids out, and it's absolutely free. All of it is absolutely free here at Tiburon. We're just off 168th Street, right on up Clubhouse Lane. Just hang a, well, go east. Depends on which direction you're coming.
That's true. Good point.
Just come west on Clubhouse Lane,
go west
off of 168th Street, and you'll find us here at Tiburon. We're right on here on top of the hill. Back with more after this. It's Unsportsmanlike Conduct on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.